Now we, you see, were sailing home from Troy in the same squadron, Menelaus and I, comrades in arms from years of war. But as we rounded holy Sunion, Athens' headland, Lord Apollo attacked Atrides' helmsman. Aye, with his gentle shafts, he shot the man to death. An iron grip on the tiller, the craft scudding fast. Phrontis, Onetor's son, who excelled all men alive at steering ships when gale bore down in fury. So Menelaus, straining to sail on, was held back till he could bury his mate with fitting rites. But once he got off too, ploughing the wine-dark sea in his ribbed ships, and made a run to Malia's beetling cape, far-seeing Zeus decided to give the man rough sailing, poured a hurricane down upon him, shrilling winds, giant-rearing whitecaps, monstrous mountains high. There, at a stroke, he cut the fleet in half and drove one wing to Crete, where Sidonians make their homes along the Iardinus River. Now there's a sheer cliff, plunging steep to the surf at the farthest edge of Gortyn, out on the mist-bound sea, where the south wind piles breakers, huge ones left of the headland's horn toward Phaistos, with only a low reef to block the crushing tides. In they sailed, and barely escaped their death, the ship's crews, that is. The rollers smashed their hulls against the rocks. But as for the other five, with pitch-black prows, the wind and current swept them on toward Egypt. So Menelaus, amassing a hoard of stores and gold, was off cruising his ship to foreign ports of call while Aegisthus hatched his vicious work at home. 7 years he lorded over Mycenae, rich in gold. Once he'd killed Agamemnon, he ground the people down. But the 8th year ushered in his ruin. Prince Orestes, home from Athens, yes, he cut him down, that cunning murderous Aegisthus who'd killed his famous father. Vengeance done, he held a feast for the Argives to bury his hated mother, craven Aegisthus too, the very day Menelaus arrived, lord of the war cry, freighted with all the wealth his ships could carry. So you, dear boy, take care, don't row from home too long, too far, leaving your own holdings unprotected. Crowds in your palace so brazen, they'll carve up all your wealth, devour it all, and then your journey here will come to nothing. Still, I advise you, urge you to visit Menelaus. He's back from abroad at last, from people so removed you might abandon hope of ever returning home, once the winds had driven you that far off course, into a sea so vast not even cranes could wing their way in 1 year's flight. So vast it is, so awesome. So off you go with your ships and shipmates now, or if you'd rather go by land, there's team and chariot. My son's at your service too, and they'll escort you to sunny Lacedaemon, home of the red-haired king. Press him yourself to tell the whole truth. He'll never lie. The man is far too wise. So he closed, as the sun set and darkness swept across the earth, and the bright-eyed goddess Pallas spoke for all. There was a tale, old soldier, so well told. Come, cut out the victims' tongues and mix the wine. So once we've poured libations out to the Sea Lord and every other god, we'll think of sleep. High time, the light's already sunk in the western shadows. It's wrong to linger long at the gods' feast. We must be on our way. Zeus's daughter, they all hung closely on every word she said. Heralds sprinkled water over their hands for rinsing. The young men brimmed the mixing bowls with wine. They tipped first drops for the god in every cup, then poured full rounds for all. They rose and flung the victims' tongues on the fire and poured libations out. When they'd poured and drunk to their heart's content, Athena and Prince Telemachus both started up to head for their ship at once, but Nestor held them there, objecting strongly. Zeus forbid, and other deathless gods as well, that you resort to your ship and put my house behind, like a rank pauper's, without a stitch of clothing, no piles of rugs, no blankets in his place for host and guests to slumber soft in comfort. Why, I've plenty of fine rugs and blankets here. No, by God, the true son of my good friend Odysseus won't bed down on a ship's deck, not while I'm alive, or my sons are left at home to host our guests, whoever comes to our